Some of the distractions that we see on the mission field are hard to believe. There were no less than four separate occasions where we arrived at church. You saw the building in the video. And there was no electricity. And as we tried to figure out, you know, which breaker was bad, all of a sudden we realized they stole the lines again. We have about a 300-foot driveway where they just said, we'll sell this copper. One of those occasions, I walked into church and they said there's no electricity, so I was going to go into the kitchen, make sure everything was okay. And one of the elders just stood in front of the door and blocked my way and said, "Don't come in." I go, "What's the matter?" He said, "Just leave. Get out of here." So I left. Come to find out that we had had a cookout and they put the leftover meat in the freezer. But there hadn't been any power for 4 days. So I'm glad he told me to leave. I know we all come here with distractions. And there are many things fighting for your attention as we come to God's Word. Many things that kill that feeling that we just sang about. I feel His holy presence living in me. How many of you, that was the first thought you had this morning when you woke up? That's what I thought. Let's come to the Lord and ask Him to fill us with His Spirit and His presence today. Father, as we come before You, I come before You as a sinner and in need of Your grace and Your forgiveness, and fully dependent upon Your Spirit, Lord. And I present to You this congregation in the same condition. We present ourselves to You as sinners who have failed You, who need Your forgiveness for the very actions of this morning. And it is by Your grace and by Your Spirit that we come expecting to enter into Your presence. That we come expecting Your Spirit to take Your Word and make it come alive to Your people. And Father, because You have called us, we ask that we would be different because Your Word has really changed us. It would be a terrible waste, Father, a crying shame, if we come to church and worship You and read Your Word and we leave no different than we came. I ask that Your Spirit would change us by the power of Your Word to the likeness of Christ. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. You're hopefully going to be considering a missions trip to Chile in the near future. Not this year, you're already going to Costa Rica, but maybe next year, maybe the following year. And when you come to visit us in Chile, you will be surprised at how nice the weather is. It's cool and it's dry and it's fresh. And 9 months out of the year, people just love to be outdoors. And what you'll notice as we walk along the beach is that people, especially young couples, love to come to the parks and spend their time in the parks. And as we're walking through, enjoying the weather, enjoying God's creation, enjoying the greenery, all of a sudden you overhear a conversation of a young couple. He's sweet-talking his girl. And this is what he's saying. "I want you to be my wife because I love the way you cook. I want to be delighted every day with your delicacies. You're so beautiful, it makes me proud to be with you. I love to be seen in public with you because that's a good thing for me. You make me feel good when we're together. You're so attractive that our kids are going to be adorable. Besides, your dad can give us a really good wedding. What do you think about this young man's love? Ladies, would you be attracted to someone like that? What does he want? He doesn't love her. He's after the blessings that she can provide for him. Now listen to the conversation of another young couple. Yes, I love the way you cook, but I don't care if you ever cook for me. I just want to be together with you forever. You are beautiful beyond my wildest dreams, but when we're apart, it's not your beauty that draws my thoughts to you. It's the fact that we can share our hopes and our dreams. What I long for most is to see you again so we can pray together and share together. Sure, I'm interested in kids, but I want to marry you so that I can give you my heart and grow to know you more deeply every day. What do you think about this young man's love? What does he want? I think he loves her, regardless of any blessings she may or may not bring to the relationship. Many, many times, we are guilty of desiring God's blessings far more than desiring God's covenant. A real relationship with God is not for the sake of the benefits that we can get out of it. A real relationship with God is for the sake of loving Him above all else. Today we're going to explore that biblical concept and take that one step farther to see how fathers are to train their children to have a real relationship with God. Not one that focuses on His blessings, but one that focuses on loving God Himself. I'm sure you all are familiar with the verse that is the very first mention of the word father in Scripture. And it's very interesting when you see what it points to in the father-child relationship. Genesis 2:24. For this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Don't you think it's interesting that the very first mention of father in the Bible tells about a young man leaving his parents in order to get married? It's not about the birth. It's not about the rearing. The very first mention of father is about leaving. Fathers, what does that tell you about your role as a father? A father's job is to prepare his children for relationships with other people. A father's job is to prepare his children for relationship with someone else. And that's the vision that we need to keep in mind as fathers. We are training them how to relate properly to other people for the rest of their life. That's the end goal, the final vision that you're looking toward. Are we training them in such a way that their relationships will always be a difficult issue for them? Or are we training them to be solid, faithful, and graceful in their relationships? The first mention of father in the Bible is about a father watching his son get married. For this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. When your children walk down the aisle, out the front door of the church, arm in arm with their new spouse, Are you confident that you have trained them well for that relationship? Given them instruction, experience, and example to make that relationship a godly success. There's another relationship that we must prepare our children for. And that's the relationship with God. Now let the words of Genesis 2:24 ring in your ears. Just listen to the things that are going on. For this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The two concepts that are there are leaving and cleaving in a marriage relationship. Listen in Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3, the description of God's call to Abraham. The same elements of leaving and cleaving are present here as well. The Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. All the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham left, as the Lord told him. I think God is showing Abraham and God is showing us that our relationship with God is to be taken every bit as seriously as our marriage vows. There is an element of leaving and cleaving. Leaving all other relationships and cleaving to your God above all else, regardless of where that might take you. How are we doing as we train our children for that? Genesis 17 is going to be the bulk of our study today. And as we look through this passage, we're going to watch God draw out a stark contrast for Abraham. And He explains to Abraham in black and white terms that there are two very different ways of raising your children. Two very different ways of training your children to have a relationship with God. And as we look at these two methods of teaching your children to relate to God, we normally see them as the same thing. We don't see them as two different methods. We see them, it's all the same thing. We don't make a distinction between these two methods. In fact, Abraham didn't even see it until God basically had to slap him in the face with it. So as we study this passage, ask God to show you the difference between seeking God's blessing for your children and seeking God's covenant for your children. Let's take one short, brief moment right now of silent prayer and ask God to show you that in your own heart today. Father, thank you for hearing the prayers of your children. Amen. What we're going to see first in Genesis 17, verses 1 and 2, is that because God initiates His covenant with you, your relationship is always 100% dependent on God, regardless of your performance as a believer. And that's pretty good news. Verses 1 and 2, Genesis 17, 1 and 2. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between you and me and will greatly increase your numbers." God initiated His covenant with Abraham. And God confirmed His covenant with Abraham. And it's no different for us. God initiated His covenant with you. and God confirms His covenant relationship with you. God calls us to Himself, and God shows us how He expects us to follow Him. But there's one little phrase in verse 1 that's kind of scary. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless." Now that sounds kind of intimidating, doesn't it? God has called us to walk before Him and to be blameless. Now what did being blameless mean to Abraham? If you look at it in the context of Abraham's life, we see that God had already set up the sacrificial system so that His people could be rightly related to Him through the shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sins. And when God told Abraham, "Walk before me and be blameless," He was saying, remember that you depend on the shedding of blood to come into my presence. And it's the same for us today. God calls us to be nothing less than blameless before Him. But blameless does not mean being perfect. It means that our sins have already been paid for by the shedding of the sacrificial Lamb of God, by the shedding of the blood of Christ. We depend on the sacrificial system set up by God to be rightly related to Him. Without it, we have no standing in His presence. And then, the next thing that we're going to be looking at is that to be blessed by God is not the same thing as being under God's covenant. First of all, verses 3 through 7. Abraham fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give you as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God." I think it's kind of overwhelming to Abraham, and his initial response is unbelief. There's just no way that God can do this. Verse 15. God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and surely will give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her." Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, "If only Ishmael might live under your blessing." God is saying to Abraham over and over and over and over again in these verses, covenant, 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 my people, your God, covenant for generations to come. And Abraham says, blessing? Abraham's response is, "If only Ishmael might live under your blessing." And then God said, "Yes, okay, blessings for Ishmael. But Your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I've heard you. I will bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. As parents, as fathers, we tend to ask God for much less than He wants to give our children. We need to understand that there is a categorical distinction between God's blessing, Ishmael, and God's covenant, Isaac. Look at these two passages. Just compare for a moment verses 4, 5, and 6 and verses 20 and 21. The blessings under God's covenant are nearly identical to the blessings without God's covenant. Verse 4. As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram, your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you fruitful. I will make nations come from you, and kings will come from you. Verse 20. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will bless him. I will make him fruitful. I will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. The blessings inside the covenant and the blessings to those who are outside the covenant are nearly identical. And I think that's why we get so confused. We hear God saying, "My covenant for you and your children." And we say, "God, blessings?" Why did God bless Isaac? Don't confuse the two names. We've got Isaac, covenant, and Ishmael, blessings. Why did God bless Isaac? Because Isaac was under the covenant. Now listen to this subtle difference. Why did God bless Ishmael? Because Abraham was under the covenant. Does that difference make sense to you? God's covenant is always in the second person. Verse 4, "This is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make you the nations out of you, and kings will come from you." Verse 20, blessings. God's blessings outside the covenant are always in the third person. "As for Ishmael, I have heard you, Abraham, with whom I have a covenant. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation." God blesses Ishmael because Abraham asked him to bless his child. But God blesses Isaac because God has made his covenant with Isaac. There's a father who went away on a business trip. He was gone for a week. And when he came home, his kids came running up and hugged him. "Daddy, Daddy, what did you bring us?" And he opens up his briefcase and pulls out the toys or whatever it was. And And they, thank you, Daddy, and they go off running in their rooms and play. And there's Daddy. That's a lot like our prayers to God. Wait, Daddy, Daddy, what blessings do you have? And He gives us His blessing, and we run off in our rooms and play with that blessing. And there's our Father. When what He's offering is covenant for not just to give us His presence, T-S, but to give us His personal presence, S-C-E. We need to repent of desiring God's gift, His present, more than His personal presence, being with Him. Many of our prayers for ourselves and for our children are more like Abraham's prayer for Ishmael, pleading for God's blessing. God wants to give us so much more than His blessing. When we ask God to bless us and to bless our children, we are asking for something that is far inferior than what He is offering out to us. God gives His blessing to immature believers. God gives His blessing even to those who are outside of the covenant. God even gives abundant blessing to the children of believers because the covenant of the Father spills out over the kids. But the true and deeper joy of the Christian life is not found in the blessings that God pours out on us in the name of Christ, but in being welcomed into the very presence of God. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me. To walk with God on a daily basis is our calling. To have His holy presence living in me. So don't sell yourself short, fathers, as it is our primary task to prepare our children to be rightly related to God the Father. Thank you, Lord, for your word that teaches us how much greater are the things you want to give us than are the things that we normally long for. I pray that you would raise our vision and allow us to strive for the covenant that you offer. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand together and respond. That our vision for our kids, for ourselves, would not be for God's blessing, but would be for God Himself. Let's sing, Be Thou My Vision.